listeners, I'm your host, Annie, and welcome to the CIO Today podcast. If you're looking to level up your business game, conquer your goals, and embrace leadership like never before, you're in the right place. Today, I am beyond excited to have a really inspiring guest with us, Dr. Priscilla Crusher, who's also known as Dr. P, who is a powerhouse of knowledge and experience. So let's dive right into it. Hi, Dr. P. My name is Annie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Annie.
Lovely. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. Many of us look up to you as a professed and a passionate leader. So let's get right into the interview.
All right.
Lovely. So as a founder and a CEO of Priscilla Crusher Consulting Solutions, could you tell us about the driving force behind starting your global management consulting company?
I would have to say the driving force. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be biased, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't say it's going to be me. That's a driving mm-hmm. force right there. And the mm-hmm. reason why I say it's me is because just like many others who are founders, we look around and we see things that we agree with mm-hmm. and things we don't agree with, and then things mm-hmm. we really want to help to improve, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, I can sit here and tell you, well, I got inspiration from here, from there, from whatever. But at the end mm-hmm. of the day, the driving force, in my opinion, for being a founder is the founder mm-hmm. themselves. Because at the end of it, we still have to take action on whatever is that idea, that solution we want to bring to others to help them solve mm-hmm. the problems they're experiencing. And the whole reason behind that and what will continue driving us, that's where it would be different. So like in my company, yes, I want to help others, but I don't want to help every single person. I know some people mm-hmm. listening to this podcast might be like, what? You don't want to help everyone? And the truth mm-hmm. is, I don't want to, because as a business owner, as a founder, mm-hmm. I started my mm-hmm. business specifically to help micro businesses around the world to improve their businesses so they can learn how to scale their business. And they do that by learning some strategies to improve their goals, their processes, and their operations. And the reason why I chose micro businesses is because, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, there was so mm-hmm. many things I saw when I was doing my own research into what would make my company stand out. And there are a lot of things in any given country that are for small businesses, but there's not that many for micro businesses or micro enterprises. And mm-hmm. a lot of businesses, we start small. We want to stay small, or we want to grow and be, you know, 50 or 1,000 strong. But the point is, you have to start somewhere. So part of my driving force isn't just my thinking and my wanting to help micro businesses, but it is mm-hmm. for helping micro business owners to understand the true potential of their business, to help them really get that foundational concept for their businesses, and not mm-hmm. just saying, okay, who they want to target, but to really set up their business like a business, like one of the big businesses in their given country, right, that has mm-hmm. those foundational vision and mission and values. Mm-hmm. And then you have the behind the scenes operations and processes that help keep a business afloat, that helps you handle from your first customer to your thousandth customer and beyond that, right? So it's really mm-hmm. helping micro businesses realize you're not self-employed, you're not freelancing. If you truly want mm-hmm. to be a micro business, you want to be an actual business, you have to have that mindset. You have to have that growth mindset to wanting to be a business and to see yourself as a business owner. So some empowerment also happens in there as well, you know, helping mm-hmm. micro business owners. And a lot of micro business owners are women, you know, and they're starting right. this while still having a family, still working a full-time job, and they're trying to get, you know, their business up and running. And then they encounter lots of different challenges. So being mm-hmm. able to help them see where their business is at and to help them see, hey, this is how you can set it up and you can scale it gradually with the amount of money you have right now to where you want to go and continue mm-hmm. to build your business. So like I said, the biggest driving force, in my opinion, is me. But the other part of it mm-hmm. is really wanting to help micro business owners to really reach the true potential of their business, so that we can have more businesses making it to 5 years and beyond.
That is truly, you know, that's spoken like a true visionary. And I'm pretty sure that, like you mentioned, you know, not all may have the vision or the willpower to make it into a macro business or like, you know, taking it to 1,000 employees. But mm-hmm. I think you step into the picture, you know, pushing them just when they need it, giving them the right nudge and, you know, just basically being there for them when they, you know, maybe they don't believe in themselves or something, or when they need you.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
So can you tell me how do your coaching and consulting training services contribute to the success and longevity of global micro businesses?
So sure, I alluded to it already in my previous response, but I can expand on that. Oftentimes, sure. People that I've encountered, they mm-hmm. talk about they want to start a business. And then they go, well, I don't want to pay for coaching because I'm not there yet. Or they're not necessarily wanting to pay for consulting because they don't need it. Or no, I don't need any training. I got this. I can figure this all out on my own. But the reason why coaching, consulting, and training exists is because we can't figure it out all on our own. And if anyone listening to this doubts that, I can tell you, pick a company or even three companies, those large Fortune 500 companies, those big companies in your given home country. You pick any mm-hmm. one of those and you go and do a little bit of research and you're mm-hmm. going to find out that, hey, they do hire coaches. They do hire consultants. And guess what? They train their staff, not just lower level staff, but they train their executive level staff. And they do that for a reason, mm-hmm. because our environments are constantly changing. Economics are constantly changing. Human resources mm-hmm. constantly changing. How we source materials constantly changing. You know, and working as a team, those team dynamics we have to understand. So my argument to business owners that I encounter who are against the coaching, the consulting, and the training is, if mm-hmm. these things are negative, why are large companies investing so much into ensuring that their personnel have what is needed to continue mm-hmm. to drive that company towards its strategic goals and towards its revenue targets? And when I say that to them, I get a little bit of silence, right, Annie? Get a little bit of silence because it's like, holy crap. Okay, that is true. Because if they're willing to invest in it, why is the small person now starting out not wanting to? And it seems to be rooted in fear and lack of understanding of what coaching, consulting, and training can provide. Because wanting to do it all on our own, we run the risk of burning through money, you know, picking mm-hmm. the wrong type of marketing to go after, and then some frustration as to how do I develop my concept into something that can truly be sold, right? Because a lot of times people mm-hmm. say, yes, I'm passionate about something. I'm going to go start this business because I know I'm going to be good at it. But mm-hmm. then in a year or two, that passion starts to dwindle out because it's replaced by burnout and frustration because nothing is going their way. So with the coaching, you can get that support that you need to help you see some of the things you're not quite understanding, right? And with the mm-hmm. coaching, you get a lot of the how you can do that. Right. And there are different types of coaching, to be honest. And we do have a course that's coming out later on this fall that goes into all sorts of different types of coaching. Right. So there are different mm-hmm. types of coaching and we have to be able to identify which type of coaching is most beneficial for our own businesses. The same thing with mm-hmm. consulting, same thing with training, actually. So with consulting, you get a consultant who can come in and they can ask you some questions or you ask them some key questions about what's going on in your business mm-hmm. and, you know, things you want to be moving forward. That consultant can give you what most people know, that advice. And then mm-hmm. you might not work with that consultant again because the advice they give you, you're able to go and implement, or you're like, hey, that person gave me some responses that are a little bit too high for me right now. I want to go work with somebody else. And that's fine because not everybody's a good fit for us. But within the consulting realm, you can get a consulting at an individual level. You can get it at a programmatic level. And then the different levels determine how in-depth the consultant goes into giving those advice and those recommendations to really help you uncover what is going on in your business. So then the coaching takes it a step further. And with the coaching, you get a lot more support with the how. Because, you know, a lot of us, we go to the doctor, you know, we go to the dentist, you know, go to the hairdresser, the barber, you name it, you go buy some clothes. And there's always somebody right. there that says they're a consultant, assisting right? You. Yeah, they're right. assisting you. They're giving you this little input about what looks good and what doesn't. But
right.
they don't always give you like a how, especially like with the doctor. You know, the doctor gives you this information, they answer your questions. And then sometimes when we leave, right, I need we have a hell of a lot more questions, right? we went in. You know, so yes, you can get some answers to your questions from consultants, but a business coach or an executive coach, a leadership coach, they're going to work you through a lot more of the how and help you kind of scaffold how the type of actions you're going to be taking so that you can actually achieve what it is you want to achieve. And then throughout that process, you might realize, hey, you got to develop some of your skills a little bit more, you know, and that's where the training part comes in. Because then we have to be able to identify which training courses are most appropriate for us. Because a lot of us have this shiny object syndrome where we just see something, it sounds good, and we go after it. And then right. the next thing you know, we spend money on 10 different courses. And then we say, oh, they're crap. Yeah.
Right.
You're like, oh my gosh, I wasted my money. And truth be told, you probably did, because you probably went and you bought courses that you didn't need right now in your business. Or they right. just weren't appropriate for what you actually need an answer to. So through the consultant and the coaching process, you can begin to uncover, hey, what exactly do I truly need to invest in from a training point of view that will be able to help me to move my business to that next level that is appropriate for my business?
Right. So that's like you helping them out, setting up a blueprint for themselves, knowing what they need to do, where they need to improve, etc. That's amazing. That's amazing. So I bet you must be encountering people from various cultures. And can you tell me how do you incorporate, you know, to work with them?
Do I work with them? Yes, I do.
Like, how do you incorporate the multicultural practices in your work is what I'm trying to ask you.
The multicultural practices, those actually come from my previous lifetime, I would call it, as a school psychologist working in K-12 schools. With school psychology, we got trained on multiculturalism, right? And I had the wonderful opportunity of being able to work in Florida, within the U.S., in Washington State, in California, and also in the Cayman Islands. And in all those locations, I had the great opportunity to interact with others who not only spoke English, but spoke Spanish, and not just Spanish from Spain, but you're talking Spanish from Colombia, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, you know, Mexico, Nicaragua, Panama, Peru, you know, so I was able to interact with lots of different folks who speak Spanish, but from different areas. And then that taught me, you know, even though it's Spanish, it's kind of like English, how we have certain words that are kind of just specific to our region where we live, but then another region might say something completely different. So it's a very similar experience. And I also got to work with individuals who speak Haitian Creole, who speak French, who speak Patois, who speak German, Farsi, Japanese, Mandarin, Cantonese. Got a whole long list of different languages that I was able to interact with. And when we don't speak the same language, it can be difficult, right, Annie? Because you're trying to get your point across. And
of course.
We're saying one thing, the other one's saying another. And you don't want to be like a customs situation, because when you fly into another country, sometimes those customs officers just yell at you even louder, but you still don't understand what they're saying. And it's like, you can't keep yelling because that doesn't help. So it's really understanding like where that person is from. And like I said, the training started in my school psychology program, but then I continued to just build on my professional development as I grew as a school psychologist. So taking a lot of different courses to help me learn about different cultures. And then growing up in Barbados, I went to school, primary and secondary school in Barbados. And then we learned about Arawaks and Caribs. Those are indigenous folks in the Caribbean. Then going off to the University of West Indies and taking courses there and learning about even more individuals, you know, the Inca, the Maya, the Aztec, Native Americans, and just how all of those cultures actually are similar, how they're different, you know, how it actually impacts the regions where folks are from. Then, of course, you know, we have the whole impact of Europeans coming in to the Caribbean and Latin America and how we got from off of the African continent into the Caribbean, you know, via the slave trade, and the fact that the slaves came from different tribes. So it's really understanding like how colonialism impacted different places and how some things are similar and some things are different. So you get to understand those factors. Then you get to see how they came alive throughout the years and how it explains the dynamic between males and females, and then the mentality that some males might have and then some females might have, and the whole structure of the family, the whole structure of society, caste system, socioeconomic status. So those are different things that I got to learn along the years. And I'm going to stress years, because it's not something that happens overnight. It is not, you know. So it's over the years, and I still continue to read about different cultures and to learn about similarities and differences. And I know I've mentioned similarities and differences a lot, because a lot of our cultures have similarities and we have differences. So it's really understanding how those come into play. So that way, when I encounter an individual from a culture that's different to mine, I have an understanding of their culture. However, Annie, I'm not just going to take that and say, this is how this person should be responding. You know, I still have to give the opportunity to let them be them. So I can't just be stereotypical, right? I can't hold biases and say, hey, this person should be responding to me in this type of manner. I still have to let them show me who they are and help them, and sorry, and let them show me how they're thinking, what it is they want to achieve, and let them share some of the barriers that they might be encountering. And that's from an individual who's seeking to get the services we're offering. From a partner point of view, or even from a networking point of view, it's really just listening to folks to find out, hey, what is their journey and how is their culture coming out in what they're doing, right? And just having that conversation again to learn more about that individual. And because multiculturalism is so important in everything that we do, is actually one of the four core values for my company. So it's accepting and respecting diversity, right? So it's really important, because the world is not how it was 20 years ago, right? With technology and with changes in how we can travel by air, by sea, you know, we are able to go over so many different borders that we weren't able to do 25, 30, 40 years ago. And because of that, you're being able to interact with individuals from different places. Hell, Annie, you and I are talking here on Microsoft Teams. You know, we're doing this recording for this podcast. And you know, this didn't exist 25 years ago or 30 years ago.
Of course.
We don't want an expensive phone call. But this helps us to get to be able to know each other even better. And we got email, right? So email, we get to learn how each other interacts. This is not snail mail, you know, doing a pen pal and writing it and putting it in the mail. And then you wait about 2 months and then you get it. So it's a quicker way of being able to interact with individuals, for them to share what's going on in their lives, and for me to ask questions, because that's the other thing I do. Yes, I've read a lot about different cultures. Yes, I've interacted with individuals who speak more than 10 languages and who've come from more than 20 different countries. But that doesn't mean that every person I meet will react like who I have met before. So I still have to give the opportunity to let that person in front of me show me who they are. And when I'm not sure about something, I ask a question, because I'll rather ask the question than make an assumption.
That is right. That is right. So the learning curve never ends for you and neither for them.
No, we're always learning.
So I bet you must have come across a lot of obstacles. Do you have any, I mean, that you had to overcome? So can you share some of them with us? Any significant ones?
Oh, my gosh. Obstacles that exist in our life, whether we recognize it or not, they're there. And sometimes you're deep inside the obstacle before you realize it is an obstacle. So in terms of, you want life journey or business? Because I can say in life, it was really hard, you know, just trying to figure out, hey, what is it? How did I want to achieve what I wanted to achieve? Because my first thing was, I was gung-ho. I was going to be a psychologist, but I didn't know how to do it. So, you know, I asked questions from age of 13. I was asking questions about, okay, what is this psychology thing? Where can I go to school to get it? And I did encounter some closed doors from individuals that I thought would have been helpful back in Barbados, but they weren't. So then I had to do a lot of research on my own just to try to figure out. And my parents did their best to try to find individuals to help me answer some questions. But they also thought, hey, there's no way she knows what she wants to do. And they refused to help. So we just kind of did it on our own, trying to figure this stuff out. But I love my parents to death. Supported me, and we just took it searching, try to figure out things. And you know, I got to graduate school. I did my undergrad in Barbados, but then I also did graduate school in the US to get my master's and specialist degree. And that journey, I was able to learn about resilience. I didn't know, Annie, that that's what that was, but to learn about resilience when you're being an international student in a foreign country and you're trying to get things done and you're applying to scholarships, you're getting closed doors, you know, you're going after opportunities, you're getting more closed doors. It's just a matter of, hey, what else is out there? And to keep knocking on doors to see what's going to happen. Is it going to open? Is it going to close? You know, and going after different opportunities and different clubs that were available on campus, because that also taught me how to network. Didn't know that's what that was, right? I mean, back then, I was just like, hey, meeting people and remembering who they were. And then, you know, we're doing future projects together. And I learned, I was doing some networking, you know, so being able to truly get out there and ask some questions and realizing that not everybody views your age as a barrier, because in the Caribbean, sometimes it can be a little harsh when you're younger and people are like, nope, you can't get such and such opportunity yet because you're too young. And I would say to anyone, when they came to the US, I didn't get that issue. If it was an opportunity that I qualified for, then yes, I was able to pursue that opportunity. I'm not saying I got everything I went after, but I was able to keep pushing and I didn't let one no deter me from pursuing what I wanted to pursue. And I took that determination in my first job. And yeah, it's not every leadership position I was able to get, but the ones I did get, I made the most of it. And as a business owner, as a founder, the biggest obstacle for me was just trying to figure out what the hell I wanted to do in this business. Because every business is out there wanting to help others. And you can come with a complex idea, but the more complex your idea, the less people will understand what it is that you want to be doing. And then trying to figure out the whole target audience thing and the importance of the target audience and really knowing about what you want to do in your business. You know, those things are truly, truly crucial. And I can say also funding can be an obstacle, but that is reason why strategy and strategic planning is such a big part of the services that I offer. Because I realize, hey, if you come up with a strategy, you have a strategic plan in place. Again, looking at my research of big companies, when they have a strategic plan in place, they're able to break down a huge, huge goal into multiple smaller goals so that you can achieve bit by bit. Yes, it might take two, 3 or 4 years to achieve it, but when you can break it down, then the obstacle doesn't seem so huge anymore, right? So it's really taking what I encountered and using it as a learning lesson coupled with the research that I did.
That is amazing. Also, can you tell me, how do you approach building long-term relationships with your clients and what values do you strive to deliver to them?
Oh, relationship building is more than just a CRM like people think it might be. Yes, the CRM plays a role in you tracking who your clients are, but you still need to pay attention to the individuals themselves. And that's where networking can come into play. And also how you structure the services you offer to your clients. It doesn't matter what type of business you have. You can have services or you can have product. You have to understand how mm-hmm. you're going to stay connected with those individuals. And an mm-hmm. example I can give is pick a company that you shop with. When you shop with that company, before you can even check out, right, Annie, they've already sent you an email to tell you, hey, you got such and such in your cart. Don't forget it. Oh, we found something similar. Mm-hmm. Don't forget you clicked on this other thing, you know, because they're trying to keep that relationship open. And then even after you've made your purchase, it's a thank you so much for your purchase. Can you give a review? Oh, we haven't seen you in a long mm-hmm. time. We want to check in with you. And then they're the ones that tell you happy birthday, you know, because you had to put in your data bear for certain things. So when you have companies who are trained to do that as a micro business, mm-hmm. you got to ask yourself what type of relationships you want to be building. And for me, I keep an open line with my current and my pharma clients. And that is built into the process that we do have for the Soarwood Coaching program itself. And even with individuals who just sign up for the consulting option or those who sign up just with the training option, there are different ways in which we interact with each other and to keep those channels open, because that truly is important. And you asked about the values. I mentioned one of the values that my company has, and we actually have mm-hmm. four values. And the values, I actually do a workshop on values and mission and vision, because they're important regardless of the size of your company. And they shouldn't be things that are willy-nilly. You shouldn't just pick things out of a hat. They should really have some relevance to what you're doing in your business and what you want others to mm-hmm. feel while they're doing business with you. And there shouldn't be too many either. So for my company, there are four core values. The first one is integrity. Mm-hmm. And the second one is collaboration mm-hmm. and connecting. The third is respect and accepting mm-hmm. diversity. And the fourth one is my favorite one. And that's innovation. Mm-hmm. Because every business for me to be long lasting, you have to have something that's mm-hmm. innovative, right? So with the integrity, it's really being honest and being committed to what we're doing for our clients, for partners, for the business itself. Mm-hmm. Collaboration and connecting. We can't do this alone. We have to be able to build our businesses, making connections with others, and also fostering those connections and keeping that follow-up to keep those relationships growing. And, you know, asking mm-hmm. questions, not making assumptions. Those are the type of things when you're collaborating and connecting. I already talked about respect and accepting diversity when you asked earlier about the multiculturalism. And then with innovations, mm-hmm. like I mentioned, innovation, that's the heartbeat of any business, because we started a business to do something that is not in existence, whether it is a service that has never been offered before, a product that has never been done before, or it could be a service or a product mm-hmm. that already exists, but you have a different mm-hmm. twist on it. You have a different value right. that you're bringing to the table, you know, so it's really understanding mm-hmm. what makes your company different and understanding who you're targeting. So with all the interactions, and when you follow us on social media, you'll see it. You know, we really are fostering mm-hmm. those connections for collaborating and connecting, looking for those who have innovation mm-hmm. and offering the services to help individuals to grow their businesses to where they want them to be.
That is amazing. And, you know, you are doing a fantastic job, Dr. B. More power to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Also, can you tell me, where do you see yourself in the next few years?
The few years? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. And my few years got numbers on them, Annie. So for sure, in about 3 years or so, want to be able to help at least 300 micro business owners anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. you know, to really help them to get from where they are to where they want to mm-hmm. be. And by doing that, it means that my company itself will also be continuing to grow, to have that presence mm-hmm. in different countries around the world, and to be able to bring the trainings. I mentioned trainings before because we do offer some workshops, bringing those workshops to different areas, different regions of the world, to the micro business owners to help them to really get the information that they need so that they can develop their skills. The coaching and the consulting is offered virtually. We do have some workshops that are offered virtually because education is so important, because with education, we learn so much about the things we don't know, and even about the things we thought we knew. So it's being able to share that information with micro businesses, and especially micro businesses who are in that nonprofit space, who are in education, who are in psychology, mental health, who are in fashion, who are in fitness, who are in wellness, health and beauty. Those are the ones that I predominantly work with right now in my business, and veteran owned businesses as well. So it's really working with those individuals to help them to achieve what they want to be doing. So like I said, in at least 3 years, I want to be able to help at least 300 micro business owners across the world. And then in about 10 years, we're aiming to be a household name, so to speak, among micro businesses across the globe, and to be that go-to so that they can get what they want to get, so that we can actually be a prominent global leader to help micro businesses grow beyond their first 5 years. That is truly, truly important for me.
That is amazing. I really hope that, you know, it comes true and you're able to help more than just 300 micro businesses.
So do I.
Lovely. What advice do you have for those who want to set off in a similar direction career-wise?
In terms of being a founder or in terms of doing a coaching and consulting business?
On both. That'll be amazing if you would, you know, share your information about both.
Sure. I have to clarify. Remember, you got to ask questions to make sure we're all on the same page. So,
and I agree with you 100% on that.
So being a founder is not an easy journey at all. Because for being a founder, for those of you who are listening to this podcast, you're like, what is the difference between a founder and a business owner? Here's the thing. Any of us can wake up one day and we can start doing some research, see a company out there. You can go and you can buy it. And guess what? That makes you business owner. You know, own that business, right? And you were not there from inception of that business, but because you see it, you like it, you went out, you bought it, now you're a business owner. You might not even have day-to-day interaction with the members of that business. You just own it. And then you hire a CEO who can run it for you. And then you have board of directors or board of advisors in place, and you're participating on those boards to see what's happening in the business itself. But again, not necessarily involved in the day-to-day or even the week-to-week type of interactions within the business. Whereas as a founder, when you're now starting out as a founder, you're literally, whether you got pencil, pen, paper, iPad, the computer, laptop, whatever, your phone, you're sitting down and you're like, I see that there's a need for this particular service or this particular product. So how am I going to do that? How am I going to come out above everybody else who is in the similar field as me? And that's where your competitive advantage research comes into play. And then some market analysis also comes into play. And those are two very difficult things for individuals when they're getting started, because they tend to see those as time wasters, when really and truly, when you invest the time in those two things, it helps to uncover so much information that it gives you what you need to truly develop your idea for your business. So as a founder, you're trying to figure out how is your business going to stand out amongst the competition in the industry that you are in. And once you're able to answer that question, then that's where a lot of planning comes in, a lot of strategic planning, a lot of strategic thinking, a lot of strategic implementation. And for some of you listening to this podcast, strategic thinking might not be your strength. And that's fine. That's where a lot of people might go and get a co-founder, or they might get some advisors to help them with that type of strategic planning so that they can truly put together what it is that they want to be doing with this idea. And that's how, you know, individuals come work with me and my company. It's a matter of, I got this concept, but I'm not quite sure how to put this strategy into place, or what the hell is a strategy? You know, should I even be doing the strategy thing? So helping them truly understand what it is. And the founder journey can be a very lonesome journey. That's where networking comes into play, because the more you network with other founders, the more you encounter that y'all are experiencing similar challenges with just getting certain things done. And that's why we offer some peer advisory boards, because with the founders on those boards, you get to ask a question and you're getting responses and support from other founders who might be 2 steps ahead of you or 10 steps ahead of you. Mm. But the point is that we're working mm-hmm. together to help you to be moving your business forward while you're still getting to interact and network with other founders. So you don't feel that depression and you don't feel that burnout. You don't feel that anxiety. And you're also getting ideas from others, because part of diversity is diverse thinking. You know, so when you're in mm-hmm. one of those peer advisory boards and you're asking a question and getting responses, you're getting responses from mm-hmm. 5 to 7 other people who are different to you and who are giving you ideas that you may not have thought of, right? So it's up right. to you to be able to see how all of that can come together. So that's why I had asked you if you wanted to know, you wanted me to answer mm-hmm. your question from the founder perspective, are going into coaching and consulting, but I can also answer from the coaching and consulting point of view. And mm-hmm. if you're wanting to start a coaching or consulting business, I highly mm-hmm. recommend that you do some research, because as I mentioned throughout this podcast, there are different types of coaching, there are different types of consulting, and you mm-hmm. have to be able to know, okay, which one is it that you want to be doing and why? Because just saying, hey, I want to offer advice, or I'm going to coach people through what I have done. When you do your mm-hmm. research, you're going to realize if you truly are a coach, whether you're a business coach, executive coach, leadership coach, you know, there's, like I mentioned, there's a very long list of the different types of coaching being offered. Regardless mm-hmm. of the type of coaching, you'll realize through your research that it isn't just telling people what you have done, because a true coach is going to be able to help an individual see what's happening in their business and to be able to help them to move beyond that. And it's not always that the coach themselves has been in that position, but an effective coach has the knowledge, has the experience, and has the research ability to be able to, and analytic ability to be able to look at what is happening in that individual's business and to help mm-hmm. them to make sense of it so that you can move them forward, right? And a similar experience mm-hmm. with consulting. The consultant may have been a person who've been in that field for a number of years, but I encourage mm-hmm. individuals to really do your research, because if you've only worked in one company for 5, 10, or 15 years, and you decide, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to become a consultant based on my experiences in that one company, that could be a little detrimental, because your experience has only been in one company and you were in a position where a lot of things were given to you. You didn't mm-hmm. have to truly work towards getting it, which takes me back to the whole founder journey. When you're a founder, you start at the bottom, ground zero, you know,
from the scratch. Yes.
You started from scratch. There is no first day of work when you walk into the building, right, Annie, and you can swipe your badge and you say hi to the receptionist and you walk to the elevator, you go to your desk and you sit down and there is an actual desk with computers, you know, with technology on it, with all the different apps that you need to run your automation, your email, all this different stuff, you know, and you got pens and pencils and highlighters and whiteboards. When you walk into a business, you know, walk into a job, hey, you got all those things. But as a founder, you wake up one day and you're talking about having this idea. You're like, crap, I ain't got no table. I don't have a chair. I don't have no whiteboard.
Maybe it's in the back of the garage.
Yeah. You're like, it's somewhere, but I don't know. But as a founder, those are literally the things that you have to factor in. Those small, small things. I was working in a building where I had endless amount of whiteboards and markers to use on these whiteboards. Now I decided to open my own company. I don't even have a piece of paper to brainstorm on. So it's those small details that we do have to factor in as a founder that we don't always factor in when we decide to become a founder. And when you're starting the coaching and consulting business, truly do your research. Because for some individuals, you might believe that you're going to be great at being a coach or a consultant. And there are different training programs out there that can help you develop the skills that you need so that you can be an effective coach or effective consultant. So I highly recommend you do your research.
That is amazing. Can you also, you know, in case if I have missed on anything, please feel free to share any personal or professional miscellaneous information.
I don't know what to share here. I should believe I've shared so much. But if you want personal, I'm going to say, and I got to mention this, to my awesome, amazing, handsome husband of mine. We recently got married. His name is Roger.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so very much. So that'll be the personal information I share. That is love of my life. That is my heart right there. And we were so excited to be able to share it with our close, close family, with our parents and our siblings and, you know, nieces and nephews. We were able to have awesome experience in Barbados. So that's the personal that I'll share because I'm still super excited and he rocks my world. So I love him. I love my hubby to death. So that's the personal information I'll share. And in terms of other things, you know, individuals can find my company on social media, whether it's Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Priscilla Kuser Consulting Solutions. You look us up, you'll find us there. Or you can do DRPK Solutions. That would be the quickest way to find us if you're searching for us online. And follow us on social media. And you visit our website and you get the opportunity to see a little pop-up come up there about a planning guide that we offer. And that planning guide, everyone who gets that planning guide always tell me, oh my God, this is an amazing, amazing tool for helping me, not just individuals who are getting started, but those who've been at it for 5 to 7 years and couldn't quite figure out why they're feeling stuck, because that planning guide has the 4 must-haves for any business. And that was created based on research, which this is a word I've probably said several times in this podcast about research, because the research truly is important for helping us understand where we are and where we need to be.
That is right. And lastly, Dr. P, can you tell me, how did you journey from Priscilla Kuser to Dr. P?
So a lot of people think that the Dr. P is because the first letter in Priscilla is P, but that's not it. The reason why I'm Dr. P is growing up, my daddy calls me his sweet pea. So because my daddy calls me that, when I got my doctorate and I decided I was going to be a founder of my own business and run this business, I said, you know what, I'm going to go as Dr. P because it just reminds me of everything, you know, childhood-wise, experiences-wise. My dad is an awesome, awesome man. And, you know, just being able to make both my dad and my mom constantly proud of me. So that's why I go by Dr. P. And all my family and friends call me P.
That is truly touching, Dr. P, I must say. I mean, that was something I didn't expect, to be honest. But that's really amazing and that's really touching. Also, I wish you all the very best and, you know, all the happiness of the world to you and your beloved husband.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Of course. So as you're approaching, you know, the end of this episode, I really would like to take a moment just to appreciate you taking the time out to join us today and enlighten our audience and our listeners.
No, I am glad we were able to get this done, Annie. Talk about behind the scenes. Those listening to this podcast have no idea what has happened behind the scenes just to get this episode done. And I would say this, without going into all the details, flexibility and communication were truly, truly important for Annie and I and Karishma for getting this podcast together. And without communication, Annie and I would not be here doing this podcast. You know,
without that is flexibility,
we also wouldn't be here. But the communication.
Third time's a charm.
Third time is a charm, because we try to, you know, get this done, but situations, circumstances, you know, this didn't work out the first time around. And for those of you listening to this podcast, not just think of it in terms of Annie and I telling y'all how this podcast episode came to be, but even within your business that you're running, the business that you want to run, the business idea that you have. Situations and circumstances always happen. It boils down to how you're going to deal with that situation, how you're going to deal with that circumstance. And that's what is going to make that difference. And that's part of why my company has the slogan of solutions plus actions equals results. Because we can find the solutions, but if we never take the action, we're not going to get that result that we want. So for those of you listening, always remember SOAR by Dr. P. Solutions plus actions equals results. And once you have that solution, take that action and you'll get those results that you're looking for.
That is right. We'll live by that motto, Dr. P.
Thank you, Annie.
Of course. And thank you so much again for joining us today. You enjoy the rest of your day ahead. And of course, you know, happy married life again.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Annie. And same to you.
What a conversation. With a multifaceted approach as a trainer, coach, teacher, leader, and a mentor, she has helped countless individuals just like you transform their lives and businesses. She is truly an inspiration. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode, Dr. P. Until next time, stay inspired, keep growing, and remember, you have the power to unleash your true potential.